Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you. And I just pray for every person within the sound of my voice, my God, that you would move in their hearts and move in their minds. Holy Spirit, I need you. They need you. And I ask that you would fill your servant and flow through your servant into your people, that rivers of living water would literally flow in this place. God, we haven't come here to do church, but God, we have come here to honor your name, to hear your word, and to be changed. And so I pray for every person's story, that God, that they would connect to your word and Lord, your spirit in a life-giving way, I pray. Come on, let's all pray this prayer together. Jesus, speak to my heart, encourage my heart, challenge my heart, teach my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, come on, high five two people and tell them, this message is for you. This message is for you. Thank you, worship team. Don't you often find that the message isn't for you, but it's for the person next to you? I often find that. I often find the preacher isn't preaching to me, but he's definitely preaching to the person next to me, and because they got a lot of issues. So slap your neighbor and tell him you got some issues. Slap your neighbor and say, this message isn't for me, but pastor's been praying for you. Pastor's been praying for you. He's been praying for you. Jesus has been praying for you. Do you know that? One of the cool things we've been doing recently as a family, just to enjoy nights and so forth, is watch YouTube highlight reels of like America's Got Talent and America's Idol, Australian Idol, British Idol, Slovakia Idol, all kinds of different idols going on, and they're all over the world, and The Voice, and all those types of things, and you can see the pitiful ones, right, and you can see the powerful ones. You can see the one who should have had a friend tell him, you can't sing. Like, should have had a friend just say, listen, I've heard you in church. You ain't that good. You shouldn't go, right? You know, I was next to you. I was behind you. We were four levels away from you, and we heard your off-keyness, okay? How many of you wish that someone had a conversation with some of these people, right? And then the worst people to add to that is the one who sings and is really bad, and then Simon's like, no, man, you're bad, and then they start a different song. And that's the one you're like, don't do that. No, he's like, no, I can really sing. Like, I failed Amazing Grace, but now I'm going to sing How Great Thou Art. And now as the security guard is dragging me off, how great thou art. And you're like, why? Why are you doing that? Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. How many of you love some powerful ones? This might date me a little bit. One of my favorites of all the American Idols. It's Susan Boyle. How many of you ever heard of Susan Boyle, right? She gets up there and it seems like she's not dressed for the occasion. She's not ready for the occasion. She's doing all kinds of weird and lovely attributes that should not be shown on TV and so forth. And then all of a sudden she starts rocking a song. And I believe I'm a manly man. All right, just waiting for some laughter there and so forth. But when Susan Boyle gets to the end, I do find I have this weird watery substance in my eyes from time to time.
I dreamed a dream.
You know? And there's this powerful moment. And how many know that God wants your voice not to be pitiful, but to be powerful? God wants your voice, your faith voice, the song of your life, not to be pitiful. He wants it to be powerful. But I want to talk to you today along the line of fighting for your heart. In honor of kind of the veterans, I want to talk to you about fighting for your heart. If you know the story of Joseph, so many of you would not, I'm just going to give you a quick snapshot of a guy that was called to a powerful journey in God. He is one of Israel's sons. He is one of the youngest ones. He is the youngest one. And he has a powerful, someone say powerful. He has a powerful dream, and in the dream, the sun and the moon and the stars literally bow down to him, and he, like a lot of young people, is kind of cocky, and he dreams something great, and then he goes to tell his brothers, hey, by the way, you guys are going to bow down to me, and someone say, don't do that. Even if God has given you an incredible dream, be careful who you share the dream with. Right? There are some haters, and haters are going to hate, right? So you got to get around some people who are going to celebrate your dream, encourage your dream, teach your dream, right? But also give you some of the hard conversations in your life. He dreams a dream that the sun, moon, and stars bow down to him, but then he dreams another dream that his brothers and sisters and even his mom and dad will bow down to him. And though he dreams a powerful dream, it causes him to fall into a pitiful situation. His brothers literally throw him in a pit. The pit wasn't full, but now it's pitiful, right? See that? Anyway, four of you, got you. And he's pitiful. He's in a pitiful situation, but God rescues him out of a pitiful situation and brings him unusually into a powerful situation. See, if you will and if I will keep our heart right, if we will stay humble, if we'll stay hungry, even out of bad situations, church, can I encourage someone this morning at 10 a.m., right? Can I encourage someone, even if life is bad and you are in a bad situation, if you will keep your heart right, God can elevate you. God can bring you up from pitiful to powerful. Can I get an amen? Amen. At least seven people got that. What about anyone else in the house? What's interesting is he is promoted then to Potiphar's house. And though what's interesting about this is power then creates its own problem. A woman wants to do the rump shaker with him, and he has to resist that. And I don't know, maybe for some of you, you don't know that, but it's maybe she wanted to twerk, all kinds of stuff. She did. She wanted to be bold and beautiful with him, and he resists her. And you would think resisting her would lead to promotion, but it actually leads to a demotion. And he is demoted literally to prison. But what's amazing about that is God kept his eye on him. God kept his eye on him in prison, and he continued, someone say continued, he continued to use his gifts even though his circumstances were not ideal. Am I preaching to anyone this morning? Right? He continues, hear this now, this is an encouraging word, he continues to use his gifts, which were interpreting dreams, even when his situation was not ideal. And because of this heart and hunger and the gifts, God actually promotes him again to second in charge of the land. Yeah. And he is from pitiful to powerful once again. And what I love about Joseph is that his brothers wronged him, his brothers messed with him, his brothers did really almost kill him and so forth. And when he has the moment where he could actually destroy them, he ends up revealing why God promoted his heart, because he had a humble and a forgiving heart. And what he should have done, perhaps, is crush his brothers. But in the end, he promotes his brothers. And isn't that amazing? Listen, if you are promoted, promote others with you. If you are lifted up, lift others. You don't have to push others down to get up. God will see you. God will pay attention to you. God will notice your life. Are you with me, Church Alive? If the person next to you is quiet, you want to slap them and say, this one is for you, by the way. I just want to remind you. Come on, say again, it's not for me, but I know it's for you. It was like a roller coaster following the life of Joseph. He is powerful and then he's pitiful. He is powerful and then he's pitiful. He is powerful and then he's pitiful. What's interesting about following the life of Joseph is this, is that it is similar to if you follow the life of Israel. When you follow the life of Israel, they go from, and I'm talking about now the nation of Israel, they go from powerful to pitiful. And then they go to powerful to pitiful again. It's like Six Flags, you know what I'm saying? It's enough to make you throw up. How many of you ever read the Old Testament and just go, my goodness, if you do what's right, you'll be blessed. If you do what's wrong, you won't be. And then you're kind of like, well, so why don't you do what's right? But But I want you to know that the lessons of Scripture, they're for you. I know I said it's for the other person, but I was just kidding. This message is for you. See, sometimes I think we read the Bible, to be honest, and go, oh, that's for them. No, no, no. It's for you. You ever meet like a 17, 18-year-old kid and you know he's headed for destruction and he is going down the drug path and you've been there, you've done that, you're 40, you're 50, and you want to warn him and you give him an encouragement like this, like get off that path, and he thinks you're talking to everyone else but him? See, God wants your life. If there's an area of your life, God, if it's pitiful, God says if you'll keep your heart right, even in the worst situations, your heart can still be powerful. Your attitude can still be powerful. Your spirit, my spirit, can still be powerful. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We've been looking at this verse last week and this week, and we'll continue to. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says this, verse 6. It says, now these things, which things? It was the Old Testament things. It was the lessons of the past. It was Joseph. It was Israel. Now these things occurred as what?
Examples.
As what?
Examples.
To keep who?
Us.
Is that you?
Yes.
I'm just checking. Okay, to keep who?
Us.
Is that you?
Yes.
Okay, it's you. God's speaking to you. Right? If you have ears to hear, God's speaking to you, God's speaking to me. It says that the Bible says, as examples to keep us from what? Setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Verse 7 then says this, do not be idolaters. Do not be idolaters. What is idolatry? It is an unhealthy heart. John Calvin, one of the reformers, one of the theologians of the Christian faith, said this, the human heart is like an idol factory, literally producing idols all the time, new ones and next ones and old ones and so forth. The human heart is like an idol factory. But the book of Ezekiel says this, it says, I will give unto them a new heart. It says, I'll give unto them a new spirit. It says, I'll cause them to obey me. But how many of you know that if Adam and Eve with a perfect heart and one tree in the garden that they couldn't touch, now you and I, if you're a Christian here, God has cleansed your heart, but now we have one tree that's good to eat called Jesus, and then we have a whole bunch of trees around us that we shouldn't touch. See, Adam and Eve had it flipped. How many just wish that Eve just didn't hang around the wrong tree? There were thousands of trees. You didn't think of hanging out with 999 trees that didn't have a snake there? You had to hang out at that tree? I'm just getting a suntan. And there was one tree in the garden. You know, God, some people look at God and think he's just this rule God. Understand this, there was one rule. One rule, don't jack with the tree. One rule. And now there's one tree. We live in a garden called the world where there's one tree. The one tree of the tree of life. We need to hang out at that tree. But there's lots of other trees, isn't there? There's lots of other places you could get temptation. I could get temptation. There's lots of other things that lure you and try to get you into a mindset of idolatry. Now, verse 11 says this. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. I skipped a few verses. It says this. It is worth reading this passage of Scripture by yourself. These things happened to them as what? And they were what? They were written down as warnings for who? Slap your neighbor and say, not you, me. They were written down as examples for us on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, says this, be careful that you don't fall. Is that written to like just some people? Is that written to like pastors? Worship leaders, accountants, mothers, fathers, no, everyone, right? It says this. So if Scripture says, be careful you don't fall, are you immune to it? Here's what is so critical that you've got to understand is that idols mess with your heart. Idols cause your heart to have an unhealthy condition. Cholesterol fills the heart, and eventually they have a heart attack. So it is spiritually. When you worship another idol, what I've found is that idols always bite later. Live in a culture right now, I was preparing this message on Friday, and I get, you know, news, texts, and so forth. CNN might, you know, send me a little update or something like that. And another comedian, another Hollywood star is having all kinds of mess go on in his world, right? And then what was weird, I was just looking over my notes yesterday, just briefly, and I touched on it again, and another star is having see, all the ladies are coming out saying, this one hurt me, this one abused me, this one did this to me, this one did. And once they're being celebrated, now all of a sudden, something's come out of the closet. Right, I'm sorry, Mama, I never meant to hurt you, but tonight I'm cleaning out the closet. And a bunch of people are cleaning out the closet, and all of a sudden people are realizing that their idols have bit them. Idols lure you at first. Idols draw you at first. Idols say, come this way, and we follow them. It won't hurt me. I know God warns from it. I know God says don't, but I'm different. Someone say, I'm different. Pride always tells you this, you're not different, you're the same, I'm the same. Do you know that you can have an idol in preaching as you can with money? Yeah. It's the same. The Bible says that you and I are to guard our heart. We are to fight for our heart. What is an unhealthy heart? Well, let's look at a healthy heart for a moment. Jesus said, the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your what? With all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and you will love your neighbor as you do yourself. Someone say health. That's healthy. According to heaven's mindset, heaven's mentality, what heaven knows is true, what heaven says about you and about me, if you love God with all that you are, he says you'll have a healthy heart. Are you with me? But if Scripture time and time again warns us against idolatry, how many of you know that it's not just talking to someone else? It's talking to you, right? But how many of you know that sometimes if a preacher talks about a certain thing, that certain thing you kind of like and you kind of love it and you kind of like, God, ooh, that's my thing. How many of you know that it feels uncomfortable? You're like, preacher, I just want you to encourage me. I am. I'm encouraging you to deal with your idols. See, how many of you believe that God wants you to have a healthy heart? Right? For everything good flows out of what? A healthy heart. The good man, the good treasure of his heart brings out good things, but the evil man and the evil treasure of his heart brings out evil things. How many of you believe that the world would be a better place if everyone had a good heart? So check this out. If I'm preaching to you and I'm stepping on your toes at all in this talk, understand this, I'm just trying to give you a healthy heart, or I'm trying to illuminate with the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to mess with some stuff and put some finger on some stuff and say, hey, this is unhealthy. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. You are made by God. You are made for God. You are made to worship. You are worshiping all the time. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, I have music on all the time. No, you're worshiping all the time. You are a worshiper. It just depends what you worship. It depends what your focus, it depends what your affection is, it depends what your mind is after. Understand this, Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. Let me give you just a couple of quick thoughts. Man and women are made for family, they're made for work, they're made to be fruitful, they're made to multiply, they're made to have dominion, and they are made to walk with God. This is what the original design is still God's design. You are made not to come to just a church, but to church to be in you every single day. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. Let me give you this thought. If you like to take notes in church, I think this is worth taking down. Fighting for your heart is your divine assignment. Fighting for your heart is your divine assignment. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows what? The issues of life, or everything you do flows from it. No one else can do this for you. Joseph was powerful in his life because he kept his heart right. Am I preaching to anyone this morning, church? Right? Allow the word of God to hit you where it needs to. Lean in by faith this morning. Lean in and allow God to say, wait a second, is your heart healthy? Number two, fighting for your heart is a lifelong process. This doesn't stop in a week, in a month. It doesn't stop in a year. Fighting for your heart is a lifelong process. Can someone say amen? Amen. How many of you ever felt like your heart at certain times was in a good place? How many of you feel like in other times it wasn't in a good place? Your heart seems to drift, doesn't it? Your heart seems to go to the left, seems to go to the right. Why is prayer, not Sunday, but every day, so critical? Because it aligns your heart once again. Why is thanks, just the simplicity of thanking God before a meal, why is that important as a Christian? Because it sets your heart on who gave you the meal. Why is praise so important when you come to the house of God? Because it aligns your heart again. How many of you ever find that sometimes it takes you four songs to kind of get into it? Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. Sometimes it takes you four songs. You're like, oh, I finally got there. You're like, oh, I just wish it went on longer. Listen, get up in the morning and start praising, and by the time you come, you're already there. Yeah. Right? Align your heart. This is why I start my morning, I promise you, almost every single morning with praise and worship. I just start it because I align my heart. I get coffee, I'm dealing with my kids, but I put praise and worship on because, and you might be like, every morning, Anthony? Basically every morning. I might sometimes listen to scripture, but I start my morning like this because my heart has been made right with God, but it gets sidetracked. If Adam can get distracted in a perfect place, how about in an imperfect place? Yeah. How about when God has made your heart new but not your mind new? Yeah. How about you got a pure heart but you still got your flesh, right? Yeah. You got a new heart but there's still the devil, right? Yeah. You got a new heart but there's still the past, right? And every single day, this is why the Lord himself taught us, your kingdom come today, your will be done today. And he taught them, come back tomorrow. Come on, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Yeah. Veterans Day talks about honoring people who have fought for a country. But how many know there wasn't one fight? There is a continual fight for what? Freedom. Hear this now. There is a continual fight in your life for freedom. Here's what the devil wants you to believe. Do whatever you want, you'll be free. I promise you, you won't. What you'll do is you'll do whatever you want for a while, and then you'll find out that your idol bit you. In 2011, when the global financial crisis happened all across America, it happened because of selfishness. It happens because of selfish business people, but other people also were selfish and took loans they shouldn't have. All across America, people's idols, they were following an idol and then it bit them. All across America right now, there's all these scandals to do with sexuality, because in the 1960s, America said, we're going to have a sexual revolution. What they really said was, God, we know better than you. If you're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, and you're so desiring to just live for you, go talk to someone who's 40 and 50 and 60 years old and ask them this question. Did chasing passions and desires and whatever you wanted, did it happen and did it stay at spring break or did it follow you? Did what happened in Vegas stay in Vegas or did it follow you for the rest of your life? I was talking to someone the other day, and they were going to do a bucks party for before their wedding and so forth. And to be honest, he's a person of faith, goes to quite a strong Catholic and so forth. And but this bucks party, the way he described it, I did say to him, "Hey man, what happens in Vegas stays, doesn't stay in Vegas." He's like, "Oh yeah, it's okay though, we're good." No, you won't be good. Why? Because you're chasing an idol. And here's how sometimes we come to Christ. We actually come to Christ because we want him to bless our idols. And sometimes the reason God doesn't bless your idols like you want him to bless your idols is because they're your idols. Because first he'll take away your idols and then he can bless them. So how many know that sometimes a relationship becomes an idol? Sometimes money becomes an idol. Sometimes pleasure becomes an idol. Sometimes, can I say this? Busyness is the idolatry of the day. I'm so busy, Pastor. Just busy. Busyness produces a life that never evaluates anything. And then priorities get wrong. I can't tell you the number of times that someone was in the house of God every single week and then they got busy. And then they come every 3 weeks and I've just been busy. And then suddenly you're like, how come you come every 3 months now? But I'm just busy. I'm busy. You create your schedule, don't you? There's no one waking you up in the morning saying you're going to do this and this and this and this and this and this. No, you create your schedule. I found it so true, so indicative of our culture that many times people will put their kid in sports and all of a sudden the kid's doing pretty well and now all of a sudden they can't come to the house of God ever because their kid's doing well or perhaps on a Sunday morning or something like that. And you're like, how come you can never miss a sport game but you can miss the house of God all the time? But I'm signed up for sports. I thought you were signed up for heaven. I thought when you accepted Jesus, like you signed up for Jesus. Now, I love sports. I play sports all my life. My son will go to church this morning and actually play soccer today at 1:30. I don't like him playing on Sundays, but he normally plays on Saturdays, and he's going to go. But he's going to be in the house of God first. If I played representative tennis and so forth, and my mom would make sure if I played tennis Sunday morning, then I would go somewhere Sunday night. Because what you're doing is you're telling them the house of God isn't a priority. And if you tell them that for 5 years, and then you wonder why they go wheels off and rails off and do nothing that you say, you got to understand, you set that priority many years ago. This is why the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things, the idols that many times we chase, these things shall be added unto you. How many know there's nothing wrong with money? Yeah. Money is intangible. It has no motivation. It's just if it's motivated by someone who has a good heart, it will be motivated right. If it's motivated by someone who has an evil heart, it will be motivated wrong. Money is not the root of all evil. The lust, the desire, the insatiable desire to get more, though, will ruin people. Are you with me? Listen to 1 Samuel chapter 7. It says this, then all the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. So Samuel, who is the prophet, said to all the Israelites, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, someone say all your hearts, then watch this now, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and he will what? He will deliver, he will set you free out of the hand of the Philistines. So the Israelites, they put what? They put away their Baals and Ashtoreths and they served the Lord only. What does it mean to serve Jesus? It means to put away other things. How many know I have to do this on a regular basis? I find if I have to do it on a regular basis, since I'm a human, I think that you probably have to too. How many are human in here? Well, a couple of aliens. Good to see you. Thank you. Greetings. I couldn't hear. There you go. Taught myself a new trick. There you go. Now let me read to you a New Testament text that goes along the similar line. Acts chapter 19, verse 18. Many of those who believed, someone say, I believe. many of those who believed now came and they openly confessed what they had done. They were transparent. They weren't putting on masks. They were transparent with the things that they struggled with. Verse 19, a number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. Sorcery is simply an idolatry that I have to be in control and I have to know the future. It's really what it plays out of. And here's what the Bible says. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, some will say they were valuable. The total came to 50,000 drachmas, which is a whole lot of cake. Verse 20, in this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and it grew in power. How does God's word, how does God's spirit have more access to your life? In other words, you have to lay down an idol. How many want God to move in your life? How many want more of God? How many want God to use you powerfully? Then there is a time where God says, lay that down. I'm concerned sometimes for Christians who don't stop anything. I'm a Christian on Sunday. I'm a hellion on Monday. I'm Christian on Wednesdays, but then Thursday morning, something else takes over. Deuteronomy chapter 8 says this, when you have eaten and are satisfied, watch this now, this is important, it's just sometimes the little things in the word that are important. It says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, watch this now, praise. When you've eaten and you're satisfied, when you've got your job and you're getting income, praise. Yeah. Right? Because if you don't praise, watch this now, it's interesting. Listen, God, do you know that God can tell me, God can tell me to give away money? Because he's done it so many times that I now know that it's his. And that he blesses me every time I do it. Yeah. But he sometimes challenges me on it. But how many know that that wasn't the normal? I wasn't just 18 and 19 and just went, oh, I can give away anytime God wants me to. No, he'll ask me to and I'll go, oh, my precious. And he says, and that's why I need you to give it away, because it's not your precious, it's my tool. Yeah. It's my tool to bless my people. And if it can get through you, he'll get it to you. Yeah. And he will bless you. Are you with me? Watch this now. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the what? Good land. God's got good things for you. Amen. Yeah. For the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you're blessed, when you get promotions, he says you'll build fine houses, you'll settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, watch this now, then your heart will become proud. Then your heart will become proud. And you will forget the Lord your God. Do you know that this was God's blessing in their life? But he said, I'm blessing you, but be careful with my blessing. That you, the blessing doesn't become the thing. The blessing can become the thing. Sometimes we have a hard time hearing God's voice is because the idols of our hearts speak so loud. One of the reasons why people have a lot of hard time in relationships hearing whether this is the person or not for them is because the relationship is an idol. I cannot tell you the number of times that someone has come down the front and I've prayed for them and I said, and I'll feel in my spirit just, hey, you're in a wrong relationship right now. You need to really pray about the relationship. And all of a sudden the person's like, oh. And they absolutely know it already because God's been dealing with them on it. But they have to lay it down. I remember a time when there was a young pretty girl in our church back in the day, and I was thinking about asking her out. And before I even asked her out, the Lord was like, you can't date her. And I literally was like, why? But Jesus, she's in church. He said, no, 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 not for you. Why? She's pretty. Yeah, she's not for you. But I wanna. The idols of the heart speak very clearly and they shout. you lay them down and you'll get something better. When you lay down your idols, you will get something better. You will lay down something that actually God says, this is pitiful for your life. I want something powerful for your life. Are you with me? Here's an encouraging verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 17. He says this, although he did not remove the high places from Israel, speaking of a king, it says Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. In the Old Testament, they didn't have the Spirit of God going in their heart. You and I do. Therefore, we have a better covenant. We have a better thing. And so I want to encourage someone today. You can serve God for all your life, committed wholeheartedly for the rest of your days. You can do it. You can. Don't believe the lie, you can't do it. Yes, you can. You can serve God with a whole heart all of your life. That's how to live. That's how to be blessed. That's how to be powerful, church. To serve God with all your heart. Are you with me? Come on, worship team. Why don't you come back? In the book of Revelation, we brought to our church a truth of scripture on this. Is that Jesus calls himself the bridegroom, and he calls his church, his house, his people, he calls them the bride. This is a amazing kind of story because it says that he is literally wanting to be so intimate with you that he is waiting to be with you forever. But I want you to hear this now. This is why Jesus is so big on dealing with the idols of your heart. Because in essence, what you're saying is, when you say, I serve Jesus, but you have an idol, what you have is another lover. See, if I came home one day and I walked in the house, and I was like, honey, who's downstairs? And she's like, oh, no one. I hear footsteps. And if you ever came home and you're married and all of a sudden there was someone else in your house, how many know you wouldn't rest until you got that fool out of your house? Because I want to tell you, that'd be a fool. Life's in danger, fool. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to go bad, fool. One of the reasons why Christians don't have peace in their life is because God is trying to deal with you on an idol, and you keep telling God, don't worry about the basement. And he says, I'm worried about the basement. God, what do you mean you want my money? It's my money. He doesn't want your money, he wants your heart. He just doesn't want you to have another lover. What about your career? That's my career. God will bless you more than you can ever know. But he'll bless you how he wants you to be blessed. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you as well. I felt like the Lord wanted to speak to many people in here about the idols of your heart. Listen to me carefully, church. Some of you, you think it's someone else I'm talking to. It's not you. I don't care if you've been coming to this church for 7 years, I'm talking to you. There will be idols that sometimes sit in your heart, and God will go, hey, let's deal with that one now. And it will actually feel a little bit painful. You're like, oh, I didn't realize this is a big deal. And you lay it down, and then all of a sudden, health and wholeness will come to your heart. God wants your heart powerful, but how can it be powerful if it's unhealthy? How can your heart be powerful if it's unhealthy? And idols always produce unhealthiness of the heart. What is happening in America today is because sex, money, and power were the idols of America. And they are breaking. They are coming to the surface, and they are realizing it's. And the people who promoted them the most are getting burnt the most. Hollywood is getting burnt by their own immorality. But let's not point fingers. God, because you can't do anything about that. But what God wants to deal with is you and me. It's easy, listen to me, it's easy to say the world's wrong. It's harder to say I'm wrong. The world's wrong! So much stuff going on! And God's like, what about that thing? And you're like, what about it? And then you're like, everyone's doing it. Are you getting this, church? This is a foundational thing of Christianity. This is a foundation that says when I come to Jesus, I'm going to follow Jesus. And over time, he is going to point out some things and go, hey, let's lose that one. And you have to lay it down. And sometimes if some of you want a deeper faith, and I'm going to tell you, you need to dig a little deeper. Some of you want more God to do more in your life, and he's been putting something. He's been putting his finger on something for 6 months, I promise you. And all of a sudden, you're like, God, but don't touch that one. He has to touch that one. It's like when you go to the doctor's office and the doctor pokes you in the kidney and your kidney's sore and you're like, oh, don't touch that one. That's a key sign. It's sore, it's bad, it's unhealthy. Bow your head with me, close your eyes. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would sweep across our church. Holy Spirit, I pray that as I've been delivering your word, you are shining your light on minds and hearts. I pray you are breaking chains that would bind people in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that you would do miracles, Lord, in our church, that people's faith, Lord, would be deep, it would be wide, it would be awesome. And I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would do what only you can do. Heads bowed, eyes closed in this place. If you're here today and you've trusted Jesus for your Savior, but you've never trusted him for your Lordship, who's going to be the boss of your life, who's going to be the Lord of your heart, right here and right now, I'm going to ask you and lead you in a prayer. Because the reality is, if he's just your Savior and you're not, he's not your Lord, sometimes I've got to wonder if he's actually your Savior. So right here and right now, I'm going to ask people to respond to his saving and his forgiving, but at the same time, I'm going to ask you to respond to his lordship. Just putting him number one. Just saying, you know what? I'm removing some idols from my life right now, and I'm putting him number one. It might hurt. It might not feel good, but I promise you it will lead to good things. So right now, let's pray this prayer together. Say, Jesus, be my number one. Father, help me rid my life of idols that would stop me fulfilling your purpose. In Jesus' name I pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed in this place. If you meant business with God, if you know that was you today, if you're saying, Jesus, be the Lord, but Lord, be the Savior as well. Would you quickly lift up your hands? Say, Pastor Anthony, that's me today. Thanks, sweetheart. All across this place. Come on, lift those hands. Lift them up real high. Just say, yep, that's me all across this place. Thank you. Hands going up all over. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Just a couple more seconds as I wait for people just to respond to God. Thank you. Those two in the middle there. If you put that up, you can put it down now. Awesome. Awesome to see you. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for those people who are praying right now. Just saying, Jesus, be the Lord. Be the King. Be the Lord of my heart, God. In Jesus' name. I thank you and I praise you. Come on, a church alive said. Come on, can we give those people a hand that responded to Christ? Come on, let's give them a good one.